This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. You think of roadside motels, you think of an inexpensive place to stay when traveling, right? In some cities, though, they have become places people basically get stashed because they have nowhere else to go, and roadside motels become known as residential motels. Kent State sociologist Christopher Dumm spent a year staying in one that he called the Boardwalk Motel to tell the stories of the people who live there. His new book is called Exiled in America. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Do me a favor, would you, and define a term for me here, this idea of a residential motel. What is that?
This is a place, a motel that has sort of taken on a new life, so to say, that it's not catering to people traveling on highways, in vehicles, and instead it's servicing people who, for any number of reasons, were homeless, disabled, suffering from mental illness, so people who really needed a place to stay, who didn't quite fit in, who are on the margins of society and are using it as a residence, as some place to live instead of some place to stay while they're going from point A to point B.
There are some pictures in this book taken by you, and please don't take offense, but they're not great.
I'm a sociologist, not a photographer.
There you go. Fair enough. Tell me what – pick a room of one of these residents, and there are dozens of them, obviously. Pick a room and describe it for me. I mean, what kinds of – how have they made it home, I guess, is the question.
Yeah. So this one couple, Dee and Toby, they were recovering heroin addicts. And they went through a tremendous amount of trouble to make their room feel homey because most of the motel rooms have numerous code violations. And so living there is very psychologically stressful. Dee specifically put some decorations around the mirror above the bathroom sink because in her mind, it made it feel like a kitchen window. And she said in her home, she always wanted a kitchen window. And it sort of brought up these ideas of home and comfort.
Yeah. You paid $205 a week for your room, which I imagine you can afford out of your academic's salary. Where do the folks who live there get their money? Do they have salaries? Do they get government stipends? How does that work?
Some of them are working minimum wage jobs. Others are receiving supplemental assistance from DSS.
It's Department of Social Services, yeah.
Right, Department of Social Services. So there's some in that case, no money is actually going through the person who's staying. It's all going from DSS to the motel's owner through a contract. But the problem is, yeah, so you think about $205 a week, that's $820 a month for a room with no kitchen, with maybe no hot water or heat. So it's not a sustainable place to live. People would always ask me, why don't they rent apartments? Well, if you're trying to save up $820 a month and you're scraping by for that, it becomes incredibly hard to leave. You can't save up money while you're paying for a roof over your head on a daily basis.
Yeah. They actually set up, these folks did, sort of an informal underground, well, I guess it was kind of formalized actually, but an underground economy.
Yeah. That was one thing that really, really impressed me and surprised me. So they're exchanging goods and services with each other. They're selling things that people need. Someone might need a microwave, and this person has $20, so they make a trade. Or this person wants cigarettes, and they'll make a trade. But they're also exchanging emotional resources as well, just the simple fact of creating friendships and social ties together, which is very important to them as well.
The epilogue here is that after you leave, the Boardwalk Motel gets shut down.
It did get shut down by the town. It was a really tragic saga, I think, of all these different social forces combining sort of this perfect storm of neglect and misunderstanding. And the sad part is that it affected real people's lives in the dead of winter.
You called it a sterilization of social space. What happened to the people?
People didn't realize that the motel was closing the day that it actually occurred. They had no idea. So people just scattered. One guy, I remember, just dealt with it by drinking a lot of beer and then just getting up and walking out into the cold.
It's a book called Exiled in America, Life on the Margins in a Residential Motel by Christopher Dumm. Christopher, thanks very much for your time. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.